I think we all have I think we all have to recognize our racism, our everything we've ever been conditioned to believe that, you know, we have to unlearn. And I mean, how do you live in a world of white privilege and not become used to that, which makes you think that you are on a different level because you're treated differently? So yeah, I think that I don't think that that was the only thing. I think there's been a lot of soul searching on my part about, because I have, you know, that's not something that I is part of my character, but it's definitely shadow stuff. You know, you look in and you say, wow, I'm just as capable as everybody else as having of having these horrible thoughts, you know? And if this human is capable of breaking down and having a Karen moment, then I am too, and I have to go through and confront that person.
Our friend Susie Sheeler rejoins the Plutopia podcast as we explore the current state of American politics. Never one to shy away from controversy, Susie came prepared to offend those who deserve offending and support those who don't. In this week's podcast, we discuss January 6th hearings, the 2022 Texas governor's race, the Texas GOP party platform, the 1619 Project, Steve Bannon, and much more.
Hey guys, I've missed you a lot. And of course, I've missed our beautiful audience that I wish I could see, because I know the millions of you out there all look wonderful.
The crowd, he rushed forward.
I can hear him. So how have you guys been? What's been going on? I've missed you.
We don't do anything. There was, I turned on the TV set and there was some kind of hearing going on.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those things happening.
Which is really boring.
Judge Judy that you were watching?
I wouldn't call it boring. I would say that the last one could have been better. It could have been, whoever has been producing these has been doing so well. And this one just kind of seemed a little lackluster, and they had so much good information to work with. It just didn't seem as punchy as the other stuff has been. That makes sense.
I didn't think the background music was very good.
I really didn't like the opening credits either.
You couldn't dance to it for one thing.
No, I did. I am really, I mean, they are producing these things. I think the Lincoln Project is in working in concert with these people, because it is really well produced. I mean, somebody's writing a script and keeping it right at 2 hours. It's crazy.
Well, who do you think is going to end up having to, you know, cop a plea or plea with a cop or go to the place with all those bars on the windows?
It might be easier to answer the question, who isn't going to?
I think Mark Meadows is looking at a real possibility of jail. And there's nothing that'll get you to flip on somebody faster than that kind of pressure. And I think they're going after. I think that's who they're going after.
Okay. Mark Meadows?
Roll over. Yes. Good dog.
You don't think they're going after darn old Trump?
Oh, yeah. But they're going to go hard after Meadows. And he is going to say, I was just following orders. He's going to Nazi us out and say, I'm just following orders. Here's all the information, please. And he'll cut the deal, and he'll cut the best deal. But I think that's why they're going after him so hard, is so they can say, well, now you know what we know, and this is our offer. I hope they want to take him down.
Remembering back to the Nixon and, you know, hearings and all that good stuff, they're kind of doing the same thing this time, because they didn't go after him initially. They went and shook down a lot of people just to get people to roll over and confess and tell us where the bodies are buried. And that's what I'm saying they're doing, just zeroing in on a lot of people and getting them scared and saying, you need to cooperate, because we're not going to give up.
Yeah, and a lot of people say things like, you know, why aren't the Democrats fighting as dirty as the Republicans? It's just, you know, come on, we have to get as dirty as they are. And what I understand that sentiment occasionally, you know, I really understand that sentiment and I agree. But at the same time, when something like this starts happening and the truth is coming out, you think to yourself, you know, patience is something. The truth will set us free. The truth will come out. We have to stand by our morals and, you know, practice what we preach. We can't stoop to their level. And
so if the argument is that we should hit below the belt, or the Democrats should, mm-hmm. I guess a good counter argument could be, no, Aikido makes more sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stooping to that lower level, it just, you know, doesn't pay off in the long run.
It feels good in the moment.
I don't think that the Democrats should try to become bullies, but I think that maybe they should try to have a little bit of a brain boost. That machine and Forbidden Planet, that's what they need. Mm-hmm. The thing that'll boost their intelligence and release the monsters from the id, incidentally, too, which will go tear up the Republicans, I guess.
That would be really good. That would be awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what happens in 2022 here. I mean, you know, in November, I'm really wondering about Abbott.
I'm really worried about Greg Abbott. I think he may lose.
Oh, I'm quite concerned that he might have to join the unemployment line.
Now, there's a side I would love to observe. Hey, Greg, you going to get unemployment?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Beto is a little bit tarnished, you know. I think the presidential run kind of rubbed some people the wrong way. I haven't really seen him very much. I know he's been out there talking to people though.
Well, he went out and yelled at that Uvalde, mayor, I guess it was.
Oh, that first press conference. Yeah.
That guy screamed at him. He was a sick son of a bitch and stuff. So that's like the last time I saw him.
But the thing with Abbott is that he has so many negatives now. He's starting. In fact, he's starting to appear foolish. And Texas is right now in danger of losing financially in a big way by driving businesses away and by driving people away. And, you know, that is something that is, it might not bother the Republicans. Many things might not bother them, but if business starts exiting, heading to New Mexico or Louisiana or wherever, well, probably not Louisiana, but to some other states, they're going to notice that.
Yeah, I always thought of the Republicans as being the party of business. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, well, we're the party of business as long as the business agrees with us and you aren't doing anything that goes against our platforms. And you think they would have learned, because previous bad legislation in Texas cost the state a lot. You know, not only just reputation, but in money. Companies that said, no, I'm not going there.
Well, here's what I don't understand. The Republican Party, you think of as kind of the party of the rich people, you know, and you know that people with a certain amount of wealth have a lot of influence on the Republican Party and try to leverage it to get what they want, you know, which might be less regulation, lower taxes, that sort of thing.
Right.
But you'd think they would want to be smart about it and that they would want the party to be smart and that they would be very, very concerned about the way that people with, I hate to say it, kind of relatively low IQs are starting to flock to the party and run for office. And what's going to happen when Republicans are in control of the country or many of the states or whatever, but they're too stupid to do anything with it?
It's exactly, I mean, it's frighteningly like Idiocracy. It really is. I mean, the movie, you know, where they were couldn't grow anything because they were watering everything with Mountain Dew. You know, it's that kind of, and I don't think that,
Wait, does that work?
They were telling us to inject bleach. So I don't really think it's that far a leap to expect that that somebody might suggest that here. It's got electrolytes, you know, put it in there. It'll be great.
Well, a party that would let people like Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, that would let those people actually take power and have a voice.
Yeah.
You got to wonder about it. You know, I mean, everybody's got a right to say whatever they want to say, but they don't necessarily have a right to take public office and misuse it.
No, what is it that the people from Arizona want Marjorie Taylor Greene to do? That's where she is, right? She's Arizona. I think that's right.
I thought she was from Siberia.
Well, like, okay. So what does Marjorie Taylor Greene do as a representative? She's not on any committees. And from what I can tell,
she's
all
from
she does
Georgia.
Okay. I was going to say, it's gotta be one of those.
Georgia. So
even better.
Yeah. I think her role is that yappy little dog that chases you around the parking lot. Doesn't bite or anything, but is just a nuisance. But you know, the whole thing about the idiocracy and the lower IQ in Texas, it's a matter of, they have starved the educational system for so long that a lot of people come out of their senior year in high school, and all they know is the Pledge of Allegiance, the Lord's Prayer, and that abortion's bad, and God is good.
And we were good to the Indians. There's Thanksgiving.
And nobody can balance their checkbook. No one has any idea what
the
Constitution says, what the Bill of Rights means, what all the amendments means. Like, no, I don't know. I watched football last night. I know what that means. And that in Texas, football is God.
God forbid I learn something. I can't be bothered. I have to do things at work that make me engage my brain. Sometimes, you know.
It's not just a matter of learning like facts. It's a matter of learning to think, having some capacity for critical thinking.
And that is what we're not teaching at all in schools, is critical anything.
Yeah, critical
thinking. Well, in fact, we're diminishing it. We're diminishing science.
Yeah, critical thinking is, yeah, basically they want to make it against the law because that's basically what they're going against. You know, they give it, you know, they use things like, you know, critical race theory and all this stuff. It's like they're really saying, just don't teach anything that makes us uncomfortable, makes our kids uncomfortable, and comes anywhere near the truth.
Or makes my family look bad because I'm so proud of my heritage and we would never do anything like that. I couldn't possibly be, don't talk about that. I don't, you know, and then for some reason there's a, I don't know what, where this reaction comes from, but it's I didn't do it. You know, why should I pay reparations? I didn't do it. How do you explain systemic racism to people who say things like that? I mean,
well, there's a response for that, though. You say, well, you didn't do it, but you benefited from it.
And you, and probably intentionally so more than once. I guess that's what you say. I don't know. I've heard so many people say it's just, it doesn't happen anymore. Obama was, you know, that kind of thing. It just, I don't see it anymore. Well, I see it. I've seen it. It's not shocking that it happens to me, you know, it happens to a lot of people, to gays, to transgender people, to Black people, and to Latino people, you know. It's just, it's anyone we can subjugate, right? That's how we feel better.
Yeah, the whole thing in Oklahoma about Native American land rights that got thrown into a big uproar, and it was interesting to see all these folks. My mother's family was, you know, on the Trail of Tears, where they were forced to go to Oklahoma.
Jesus.
They were granted land and rights, supposedly.
Like half of it.
And then, of course, you know, that was all written in disappearing ink.
But you kind of have to force people to get them to go to Oklahoma, right?
But well, the politicians there was, it's terrible. We didn't do any of that to the Indians. Like, well, they're not Indians. They're not from India. And they were here first.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost impossible for these people to empathize in any way. It's hard for, I was listening to Liz Cheney today talking about how, you know, she and her sister had this huge falling out over the gay marriage thing. And she finally said, you know, I don't remember who was interviewing her, Judy Woodruff or something. And she said, you know, I was wrong. She just straight up said, I was wrong. I was wrong on the issue. I should have, you know, thought differently or whatever. but it took something happening to her and her family.
Yeah,
that made her say, okay, I guess I get it. But, you know, if you don't have any other, I don't know, interaction even with people from different walks of life, then of course you don't care. You just want what's good for you. Status quo, right?
Yeah.
Around Texas, you hear the famous old Frank Zappa refrain, it can't happen here. Well, it does, and it probably will.
Yeah.
It is happening here. It is totally happening here. I know this is kind of conspiracy theory, but it doesn't seem like it would be that far a jump to consider a debtor's prison being brought back.
It's already back.
I mean, like, actually,
if
having
jail to, and you don't have money for bail,
right?
You're staying.
So well, I'm talking about
debtor's prison.
I'm talking about that company that we now treat as a person can sue me for not paying my credit card or whatever, and put me in prison until I've worked it off or whatever. But the reason I would be in jail would be because I had a debt. And that would be, I mean, at this point right now, it's any crime is a debtor's prison, because if you don't have the bond, you're there until you're arraigned or whatever. So that's a whole different issue to me. Cash bond is ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I don't think that's as likely. I think things that are more likely and hopefully still unlikely are things like women losing the vote, or Blacks losing the vote.
Loving's going to be overturned. Lawrence,
you know,
will be overturned.
There was a, do you know about this, model train display in Las Vegas?
No.
Okay, this was at the Galleria at Sunset Mall.
Okay.
They had the Las Vegas Garden Railway Society had put up a model train display, and it included a gallows. There was a gallows on it with a couple of people standing there and a guy with a noose around his neck. And everybody there was white except for the guy with the noose around his neck, who was Black. So it was, consider this a lynching, you know? And of course, people went ballistic about it and they had to take it down. I mean, it got canceled. And well, it should have been.
I don't know if that's a cancel. I think that's a consequence.
But what I'm saying there is that we're at a point where people think it's okay to put something like that out, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that was a realistic depiction of history. When you think about all the lynchings that have happened, and a lot of them around the railroads, because if you didn't get along with the railroad, they'd send somebody out to do away with you. I did some research back in the 70s on the history of lynching and political assassination in this country. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I thought I would have trouble finding a lot of examples, and they were everywhere. I had trouble editing it down to.
Wow. That's.
State of Texas had a bad history of that, but particularly with like the Texas Rangers, they weren't above, going out and doing little instant justice, whether someone deserved it or not.
They have no fear. Except when it comes to saving children, then they're scared. If the cops are
children, but they're not going to support them once they're born, though.
No, I mean there were Texas Rangers on site at Uvalde that didn't go in.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so, I mean, it's like
there were a lot of people that didn't go in,
and there were people who tried and got handcuffed. They were parents. I don't know, that whole Uvalde thing is just so, and what is the deal with every, why were there so many cops in there? And were they so afraid of that one weapon that they couldn't deal with it? And if so, why are they letting everyone have those weapons?
Yeah, well, there's your catch-22 there.
That's it. They were outgunned. And they knew it. And, they knew that anybody who went in there and tried to take the guy down was actually risking their life.
Oh!
So they just couldn't get any traction to get anybody to go in there.
Yeah, they were outgunned, but to try getting a police organization to come out against assault weapons, they know that they would rather not have to face someone with an assault weapon, but it's politically incorrect in law.
But the police have been against those things all along, and they always come out and say that they would rather those things not be available to people.
Yeah, they'll say it, but they don't really do a lot. Yeah, because they get a lot of their money from the government, and the government in a lot of cases is a bunch of conservative Republicans. And
I don't know. I
can't say it too loudly.
I really don't think so. I think that the police would really like to see those things. If not outlawed, constrained quite a bit.
I think they would like for only certain people to have them.
Yeah.
Well, I think their concern for their own lives would drive them to have a concern about assault weapons being widely available.
The Republicans come out about being pro-law enforcement and supporting law enforcement, but then they pass things like open carry. Constitutional carry where everybody can have a gun. And the police were saying, that's really a bad idea. Everybody has a constitutional right to carry all sorts of weapons.
Well, I have a constitutional right to have an abortion according to the Ninth Amendment. It doesn't have to enumerate the rights that I have,
apparently it does.
Well, but if somebody wanted, why aren't they arguing the Ninth Amendment? It's almost never invoked. And I don't know I would love for a constitutional lawyer, if there are any of y'all out there, please explain that to me. And I also don't get how they could say that you have a right to privacy and then say, but except for when we decide that we don't like what you're doing.
The privacy right, there is not a privacy right that's spelled out in the Constitution as I understand it.
Well, it's the Fourth Amendment, it's the Fourth, and it says we have a reasonable right to not have search and seizure of our papers. This should all be, we should be safe in our home with our papers and our, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all our shit. It does say that.
You know, so I think that there's an argument that they are following the Ninth Amendment, because the Ninth Amendment says that the rights that aren't listed belong to the people, right? And the Supreme Court's position was that it's up to the states. And that position could be interpreted as saying, well, let the people decide, but let them do it at the state level. And you know, this is not a federal.
But we already decided. We already decided. And we made it a law.
Well, we at the federal level, the Supreme Court decided it. It was not a law. It wasn't made a law. There's not a law. There should, there could be, and should be probably a law.
Okay. The when Roe v. Wade was passed initially, that was decided. That we did choose. That was our choice. We chose that everybody should have a chance to choose. It shouldn't matter where you live, because there are undue burdens on women who can't afford to leave the state to get an abortion.
Yeah, but the current position of the court is that that was an incorrect ruling, and that it was not up to the court at the federal level to make that kind of decision, that the states should decide for themselves what their laws are going to be.
I don't think that the feds should be able to, if they're not allowed to make the decision, that they're not allowed to make the decision, then they are allowed to make. I mean, this is, it's ridiculous. No one's.
Well, but what this really says is that, you know, currently there's going to be states where you can get an abortion and states where you can't get an abortion. And if you want it to be legislated at the federal level, then legislation should be passed. And I think they're working on that. I mean, I think there will be an effort to get legislation passed to allow people to have abortions regardless of which state you're in. In other words, take it away from the states and make it a federal thing. But then the question is, how will the Supreme Court see that law when it's challenged? Will they say, well, no, the federal court can't make this decision. It has to be a state's decision.
And then we have to go and fight it all over again. And it, I mean, it's the end of it.
Or you have to fight it state by state, you know.
But and then we get back up there and it's the same thing. Why ratify or whatever if it's a state by state thing? Well, can we make it federal? No, you can't. So it's still going to be a state by state, which is going to be subject to change at the will of the people who are wealthy enough to buy the particular government in that state.
Well, but I don't know why wealthy people would oppose abortion. They probably have their share of them.
I know, but they're all voting against.
I mean, a wealthy woman wants to have the right to choose, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They can choose to, you know, fly off to wherever, you know, they can get it. And, you know, people of color, people in poverty, they don't have the, you know, they can't even afford a bus ticket, much less take a flight to Mexico or take a flight to California. Or whatever.
Or say you're 10 years old and you're pregnant and you were raped by your father. How are you going to deal with that? I mean, that's, you can't get into your car and drive to the next state.
You know, where the conversation should really go. I mean, it's very hard to convince people who believe that abortion is murder, that it should be legal, that it should be okay. So I think the debate that we should be having is, when is does a fetus become a person?
When it comes out.
Well, that's one possibility, but I'm saying,
I tell you this,
you have disagreement about that, and the disagreement is a real problem. And you know, there's, for instance, within religions, there are religions where they believe that, I guess, at inception, at the inception of a fetus, it is a person. But there's other religions that say, well, the soul doesn't really enter the body, and then it enters the body at birth. So before that, it's just a container, basically. And, you know, science probably doesn't really take a position on the soul.
Yeah.
But it would take a position, you could have a scientific position on when the fetus becomes a person, as long as you could identify and define the criteria. Anyway, I think that that's where the real problem is. Like, I know people who are devoted Christians who have come to believe, and not all Christians have always believed this, but they've come to believe that abortion is murder and that it just shouldn't happen ever. And that's what you see getting legislated. Now, I think the reason they are thinking that is partly because at some point, I can't remember when it was, but there was some point within the last four decades, there was a political decision that abortion could be a way to drive a wedge. It could be a divisive thing, and it could be a way that you could get people riled, basically, and get them to vote for your party, your Republican Party. And it became a big deal with Republicans. And it's kind of snowballed since then. It's like it's become more and more entrenched. And they don't really, there's not a real rational consideration among those people. Like, you would think that they would automatically accept that if a woman's life is threatened and an abortion is the only way to save her, that an abortion is an option that the medical professionals would have, right? You wouldn't take that away if it could be life-saving, but that's not what they're saying now. So, oh, well, you know, it's okay if the woman dies.
Yeah.
As long as the baby is carried to term and is born and lives. And I don't know what's pro-life about that, but it's a position that they seem to be taking. And this thing about, like, the 10-year-old girl who was raped.
Yeah. How is that not child abuse? Do they not see that as child abuse? It's making that child.
No, child abuse is helping your kid do a conversion, you know, become a transsexual.
Well, I don't understand what
in this state.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, but I don't understand how you can't consider forcing a 10-year-old to go through childbirth as not child abuse.
Yeah, and I was being kind of facetious there.
No, I know you were.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be a horrible thing. But of course, their position was, oh, this didn't really happen. This isn't real.
Jim Jordan said she was a liar.
That's the whole denial.
Yeah.
Well, in the state of Texas, you know, the anti-abortion forces really took root back when the Republican Party really started gaining power. And they got that power by getting the conservative Christians involved. Once you got that all stirred up, then they suddenly got a lot of, you know, they had the bully pulpit finally. They were able to go in and bully people about abortion. They don't want to pay for the baby after it's born. That's the thing that is always been the case in Texas. Like, well, you've got to have that baby, but you know, so the parent comes back and says, well, who's going to pay for it? Well, not the state. You know, that's not our job. You know, you're going to have to pay for it. And that's
pretty soon it does become our job.
It gets over.
They get into the system, and guess whose job it is? It's the state's. I mean, you the state saying that it doesn't have anything to do with them and that they're not going to take care of it is actually not true. They end up taking care of it, and it is always some kind of a foster home or, you know, some horrible group home. And they're not learning things other than survival skills.
Yeah, that's not taking care of. That's just, you know, getting them out of the way.
That, yeah. It's That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Well, there's another thing that's been popping up thanks to the Texas Republican Party. There's a bunch of folks that want to secede from the United States. And well, what do you think about that little plank in their platform? I thought that had been done.
I thought that was old.
Well, I've been in some discussions about that. And, you know, kind of the problem is that you think about the Civil War, it was the war of the North versus the South, the war of the states. But what you have now is that it's more like rural versus urban. But that doesn't even hold true. I mean, the thing is that people are divided, but they're not divided in a way where you can kind of carve out regions. So if they actually made a move to secede, for Texas to secede, the Republicans might be okay with that. I imagine some wouldn't be, but the Democrats are not going to be okay with it. And really, there would be a huge fight over that. And I don't know. I mean, I can't really imagine. It shocked me a little bit that actually was added to their platform, but their platform read sort of like a QAnon document.
Yep.
Well, and, yes. You
know, the whole thing with seceding, though, that means if you're on Medicare, you're not getting Medicare anymore because you're not a citizen of the United States. They don't have to pay your ass. So that'll be a lot of old Republicans going, well, what about my Medicare? What about my Social Security? What about all of that good stuff? And
our power grid ain't so good.
Who's going to defend us? Yeah, we got to come up with our own armed forces. Yeah, and the ones we have are kind of half-assed.
We have them. We have them. You saw them in Uvalde. We're all set.
Yeah.
You know, many years ago, I was working in poverty programs. And one thing I found, this didn't happen real often, but every now and then we ended up dealing with somebody who would lost their money, you know. Boy. And it's like, these are people who thought that welfare payments and food stamps and that sort of thing were just terrible. And then they found themselves having to turn to those programs.
Yeah.
And, or it might be not so much them, but it might be that they had an elderly parent who was depending on those programs. And, you know, their tune changes when it affects them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a completely different story if it happens to you individually. For some reason, it seems to be Republicans. And, I can talk to them one-on-one sometimes, and they will say, oh, yeah, no, we feel that way too. But typically, I don't see the empathy.
Incidentally, Robbie Garner was mentioning on here that Marjorie Taylor Greene ran unopposed. This is in the chat on Facebook.
Okay.
Why did she have no opposition?
Well, I do remember that she had had to sue to get on the ballot. They didn't want her on the ballot. So she sued to get on the ballot. Now, why she
and
had
then
no...
there was no opposition.
And weird. Then there was no opposition. So I wonder who the Democrat is she's running against. And I wonder what the turnout was to vote for her, since there wasn't opposition. She had to win, but can she win against the Democrat, I guess?
I think that's the way to get rid of her, though, is get her in that situation against somebody who won't have to campaign too hard. I mean, she's her own worst enemy when it comes to, you know, opening her mouth and saying stuff that will drive voters away.
Just edit all of that shit together and, you know, present it in commercial.
Yeah, she's their do-it-yourself blooper reel.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that came up in the chat was the 1619 Project.
Oh, I love, I've been listening to that. With. Yeah, I've been listening to, I love listening to it. It's got stories and poems and stuff.
And does it cause you to believe that you're a racist?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we all have I think we all have to recognize our racism, our everything we've ever been conditioned to believe that, you know, we have to unlearn. And I mean, how do you live in a world of white privilege and not become used to that, which makes you think that you are on a different level because you're treated differently? So yeah, I think that I don't think that that was the only thing. I think there's been a lot of soul searching on my part about, because I have, you know, that's not something that I is part of my character, but it's definitely shadow stuff. You know, you look in and you say, wow, I'm just as capable as everybody else as having of having these horrible thoughts, you know. And if this human is capable of breaking down and having a Karen moment, then I am too. And I have to go through and confront that person and say, who are you?
You know how in some families there's things that they decide that they just don't want to talk about, you know, and or think about. And that's kind of what's happened, like the 1619 project kind of scares those people, and they don't really want to think about it or confront it. It's not just about racism. It's about history. It's a history of America that factors in the fact that Blacks especially were a big part of the American evolution and experience, and that they were contributed in a really big way. And at the same time that they were dismissed or suppressed in a really big way. And to ignore that, I mean, you ignore that at peril, I think. Families that try to ignore things that happened in their past, it makes them sick. I mean, it makes them dysfunctional. So the 1619 Project was an opportunity to have a really healthy discussion about race in this country.
Yes.
And the idea that it should just be suppressed or canceled, you know, I know that Republicans never cancel anybody, but it looked to me like they were canceling Nicole Hannah-Jones any way that they could.
Absolutely. Greta Thunberg, they'll cancel anyone they can. And Tucker Carlson, that was a total mistake, but he is, you could call him a cuck. A Trump
what
cuck.
Does that mean? Can you tell me what that means?
It's a cuckold. Yeah. Oh, hey, did you guys hear that Ghislaine Maxwell got 36 years?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I want the book. I want the black book. I want the names. I really want the names. There's no reason for her to.
Those names.
I need to
come on a subpoena.
What are the chances?
Here, how old will I be when she gets out of prison? Let's see. I will be 109 years old when she gets out of prison, unless somebody gives her a get out of jail free card.
Oh, well, she's on suicide watch because of what happened to Jeffrey. So she might be carrying out. She's got to be in some.
Does that mean that suicide watch means they're going to help her commit suicide? Is that?
I mean, that's what they did with Jeffrey when he was on suicide watch.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
I'm feeling so cynical.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I mean, watching these hearings and seeing this unfold. And I mean, it's something that I think we all knew, we all felt. But
I didn't know, you know, I didn't really know how terrible it was. And I really didn't know how the extent to which they did organize it in advance. I believed it was kind of spontaneous.
I knew it was going to happen. Everything inside me said something really bad is going to happen. And I've been thinking that for a long time. And then they said January 6th, and it was the day I saw it all over, you know, the internet. And I thought, this is not going to be a good thing. These people like guns. They're hateful. I sure as hell hope no one from our side shows up.
Yeah, that was a, you know, that was an almost successful coup
from listening to all these people from the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers that have testified, there was a lot of planning going on there. Maybe it was more ad hoc groups, but they all had the same idea of, you know, Trump wants us to be there, so let's load up, let's lock and load and step up and take over the government.
And speaking
Did you hear the thing about Ray Epps? Ray Epps was a Trump supporter, dedicated Trump supporter, went to D.C. for the big, you know, riot thing that they had. Well, I mean, he didn't think he was going for a riot, apparently. But the thing is that, so he was there and he was on, I mean, he's a Republican Trumpist guy who, one of the things that he did was he tried to calm people down rather than fire people up. And, or apparently that's what he did. And also he talked to the FBI immediately afterward when he realized kind of what had happened. But what's happened to this guy is that one of those crazy right-wing publications started this story about how Ray Epps was the face of the FBI presence. The actual thing that looked like an insurrection was really an FBI thing that the FBI caused and started. And Ray Epps was a big part of that. He was.
I see.
He was so he became the face of the FBI conspiracy or whatever.
Man.
And then he started hearing from people, especially after even Trump went so far as to say something about it. I don't remember exactly what Trump said, but you know, basically they're saying this is a false flag. Ray Epps was a big part of this false flag operation. He's a terrible person. People should attack him, whatever. I mean, I don't know that they explicitly said that, but that's the result. Strangers have assailed him, I'm reading from the New York Times, as a coward and a traitor, and have menacingly cautioned him to sleep with one eye open. So he had to sell his business and his home in Arizona and move to a place in the Rockies where he could just kind of hide. You know, his life was completely screwed and disrupted. And he was one of them.
Yeah.
He was one of the people who went there to support Trump.
Yeah, when you're in that crowd, you don't want to be moderate. I mean, moderate's a dirty word.
Or have a different...
You know, bull, goose, loony, or you're on the other side.
You know, and you got to support it, toe that line, boy.
You know, one thing that I think is weird here is that I read that New York Times thing about Ray Epps. And then I read somewhere else something that said that he was had been a member of the Oath Keepers. But I don't think they mentioned that in that New York Times article at all. He was part of the Arizona Oath Keepers. I don't know when he ceased to be a member of the Oath Keepers, but
I don't see it. Huh? That's that's too bad. What do you think about this Bannon red herring that we're being thrown?
Oh, does he have a red herring?
I think he is a red herring.
Yeah. Tell me why he's a red herring.
I think that, well, first of all, they're going to throw him in there and we're going to think we got this big fish and we're going to check him out and it's going to be so great. He'll answer a few questions and then he will go off and attack the committee and, you know, get all of his bullshit in. And so, right. And so we'll believe that that's all going on over there. And maybe we'll stop thinking about Trump, but then he'll reinvoke the what was it, executive power that he gave him. But I really think it's a way for us to take the eyes off Trump.
Well, Trump said it's okie dokie, even
exactly
writing. So you know that's the plan. It's like
exactly.
Trump says, "Steve, go down and just cause a big scene, get a big, you know, fracas going on in the hearing, and then plead the fifth and leave."
Yeah, yeah.
But Steve Bannon may be the guy we should be looking at, though, because he was the man with the plan.
Oh yeah,
he was behind all of the mechanics of the Trump administration, even though they fired him. And I still don't understand exactly what was happening there, because first thing I heard about that, like as soon as they got to the White House, Bannon and Stephen Miller and people like that were in a room with whiteboards around, and they were planning all the things that they were going to do to change America, to make America great again by, you know, doing things like diminishing women, diminishing blacks, make sure that whites get whatever they need or want. I don't want to imply that I think that all the people who were involved in the Trump world were like white nationalist types, but there was definitely that element, and I definitely think Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller fit.
Well, the old saying, you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas.
Or ticks.
But
you know, blood-sucking ticks.
Steve Bannon is still on the you got the top 20 list for Trump, because you know, just the whole thing of firing him, I think it was a matter of he was getting so out there and so powerful that they really didn't want him around, because he was beginning to be dangerous to them as well as, you know, to the opposition.
Speaking of, I think DeSantis is a very frightening person right now.
Yeah.
I think he and Stephen Miller would make a hell of a team.
I don't know. Will people really vote for a man who is against Mickey Mouse?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't say that. When they came out against Mickey and Goofy and all those characters, like, you know, that's just wrong.
Cucker Charlson said that it wasn't that the green M&M just wasn't sexy anymore. What?
He had a slow, that's called a slow news day. When you come up with that as an issue.
I know. Oh, man.
You obviously didn't look around, and so it's like, well, let's go after the M&Ms.
Yeah. You know, if anyone does get, I just canceled it. I couldn't take paying for no news. But if either of you get the Wall Street Journal and you ever find anything that they say about the hearings not being, like, just giving an honest take on the hearings, please let me know. Or if they cover it at all. Because sometimes
I used to get the Wall Street Journal, but I never got the Wall Street Journal. Is
like, you've reminded me. I brought something. I have show and tell. Give me a sec to find these images here.
Show and tell. You want to show my art that I did?
Sure. Wanting to show anything and everything, but I am going to bring these up because this is something that unbelievable that I found today. I want you to see this. You're familiar with Newsmax, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
This is from Newsmax. Today.
Okay.
That headline says that Trump left office.
Ooh, that's a no-no.
So, and I will show you one other thing here.
Did he pick up on that?
You'll notice that this says former President Donald Trump.
Whoops, the other shoe just dropped there.
Oh.
And Newsmax, as far as I know, for the longest time, never admitted that Trump had lost the election or had ceased to be president.
Yeah, they stepped over a lot of boundary lines.
Wow.
With that issue.
Wow.
I keep hearing things. Every day I hear about people who are sort of disaffiliating from Trump. Today, somebody was talking about how in several areas where people had big Trump signs up, that those signs were starting to disappear. It's like he seems to be kind of losing his shine a little bit.
I've seen some articles about that.
Current news that his first wife Ivana has passed away.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that was just in the news today. And
yeah, she fell down the stairs.
Really?
Oop, that didn't
fell down the stairs.
Huh.
But you know, that's kind of strange happenstance. There's like, you know, she's someone that everybody wants to hear from, you know, to tell us what really went on.
Well, if you read her book, it tells you quite a bit.
How was it at Studio 54?
Yeah, it's more about the hair chunks that he ripped from her head.
Oh, did you read her? Did you read her book?
I read a lot about the book. I did not read the book itself, but there is a scene where I did read a chapter where she claims to have been raped by Donald, who he wanted to know who her plastic surgeon was because he liked the way she looked, because he wanted to get a little bald spot covered up. And so he went to this person, and then he came back whenever, you know, after, and it was that was it. This is what you get. And he didn't like it because, well, obviously you see what he got. And he started screaming at her and saying, "You ruined my life. Look what you've done to me." And he started ripping her. He raped her. He grabbed her hair and ripped it out in chunks. She said when she ran to the bathroom and hid. And the next morning when she came out, she saw her hair everywhere. And he said, "How does it feel?"
Him and his hair fetish. I mean, that's what's just ultra creepy about the whole Trump persona, because it's been developing and just getting worse and worse with the year. Because, you know, years ago, I kind of laughed at it because it's obvious he was already into the comb-over stage.
I'll say.
And getting into that engineering marvel that his stylist.
Nest.
Call that person a stylist. Whatever they did. I mean, that, you know, you could probably use that design to build a really sturdy building.
How long do you think that one side of hair is opposed to the other one that he?
I don't even know if it's hair. I don't know if they just, you know, got a bunch of the same color that's from a doll or something.
You could just spray it on.
I remember the spray can hair. I mean,
Stephen Miller had it on, remember? He was on Fox and he was doing this show, and his widow's peak was way up here. And then everybody started talking about how they started showing other shows where he didn't have hair past here. And he didn't have a widow's peak.
The same thing at his Four Seasons press conference, didn't they? He was sweating and it was running down. You can't make up stuff like that, you know. There's no comedian in the world that could come up with, could write shit that's as funny as that.
It is. We are in the middle of absurdity. I mean, Sartre and Camus would have a fucking field day with this. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. I don't know how we're surviving it, quite honestly.
Well, I just laugh to keep from crying every time I read that.
I just do whatever. Sometimes I'll just throw myself in the middle of the street and start having a 5-year-old tantrum.
Wailing, weeping, tearing hair, gnashing teeth.
Yeah,
all of those things. All of
holding yourself and rocking. Oh my God.
That's what they call a $70,000
a flock
haircut.
Of
his hair is styled.
It looks like Boris Johnson like that.
Yeah, but that looks like the flock of seagulls from the 80s when they were, the hip and happening hairdos.
Boris have the same hairstylist.
I think you're right.
He's an
egg beater
status as well.
And they both lost and got kicked out of the government.
Yep, they got kicked out. And
that's my phone ringing.
Uh-oh.
It's Trump, but he's calling.
Oh, yeah.
It says potential spam.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm sure it's the CIA.
I get spam risk a lot.
I do, too. Or telemarketer. That's good, too. If it's a local number and they call me twice in a row, then I know that it's a telemarketer.
Don't ask, don't telemarket.
Nice.
Anyway, we're running out of time here, folks.
I'm glad to be back.
We're getting close to the end. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back.
It was having Susie here to keep us under control and stirred up at the same time.
Wonderful to be back. I'm so happy to be back. I can't wait till Maggie comes back too, and then we'll all be back.
Yep.
Yes. And we will be making trouble. Everyone.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Troublemakers.
And we'll just have to keep on doing this until somebody comes and throws us in jail or gives us $1 billion to do it for money.
It is kind of likely, I guess. One of these days, it's all going to catch up with
us. It's all going to happen. It's just going to be like raining Plutopia.
We'll see you guys next week.
Adios. Thank you, everyone.
Off we go.
Bye-bye. You can follow the Plutopia News Network at plutopia.io. On Facebook, go to @PlutopiaNews. On Twitter, it's @Plutopia. With John Lepkoski, I'm Scoop Sweeney. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.